This is a Bicom podcast. I'm Richard Pater, the director of Bicom here in Israel, and I'm joined today by Dr. Amir Fuchs from the Israel Democracy Institute. He is the head of the Defending Democratic Values program at the Institute. He is also a lecturer in politics and communications at Hadassah Academic College, and among his areas of expertise are criminal law and legislative processes, which we're going to come to on later. But Amir, thank you very much indeed for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
If I could start, and we can start talking a little bit about the Supreme Court discussions this week. I suppose the first thing which is of interest is that they were recorded and broadcast live. What did you make of that decision and the content of the discussion itself?
Well, first, the fact that it was broadcasted, I think it kind of an end to a very long discussion in Israel, and I know that also in other places in the world, that the Supreme Courts and courts in general are debating the question: should we allow broadcasting? Should we allow the media to tape what's going on in the courts? Because you know, on one side we have the transparency, which was, you know, everyone talks everyone thinks that transparency is great. It's good that the people will hear the hearing. This is an open court, nothing is secret here. But on the other hand, there was like a fear that when you broadcast it, it will become a show. Lawyers will try to get sound bites for the media, and maybe it can affect the judges themselves, and everything might become too theatrical. This is, I think, what was all the years the reason that, not that we didn't have broadcasting from the court, we never had, even media cannot tape there. And I think the decision, I think the debate is over, because almost everyone agree that it was great. It was good for transparency. I think it was good for the trust of the public in the court. I think people finally, after years that we have a campaign of demonizing the judges and the court, people saw them as people. They see human being, and they see them very sharp people, and sometimes they're funny, and sometimes they don't agree with each other. I think that people who never saw the Supreme Court had a very, I think, seeing how the Supreme Court is acting when, and also, of course, it was a very important test case, and I know it was long and some people found it a little boring, but I think that people saw that the issues were not the political issues. It was very strict about the procedure and about the law. And sometimes when, mainly from the petitioners, they tried, you know, to talk about political issues and values. And you see how the judges say, well, but tell me where the law is behind you. And I think that, in a way, it might benefit for the trust of the people in the court.
Thank you. I mean, just to recap, the decisions that the court made last night on both issues about the eligibility of Prime Minister Netanyahu to be able to form a government while he's facing his own imminent trial, and the legality of the coalition agreement itself between Likud and Blue and White, both the petitions against that were unanimously rejected. But they added an important caveat of rejecting it at this time. Overall, what did you make of the ruling?
First, and I have my criticism on the ruling, because for my point of view, I think they could intervene if they wanted. They could find the procedure issues to intervene, because it's not a clear cut that a prime minister can serve and be a prime minister with such grave indictments of bribery. It's not a clear cut, like some of the commentators and some of the media are stating. It's not. And also, when you read the verdict, you see it's not a very clear cut or simple case. But they decided, and I totally respect it, they decided that on this specific issue, the consideration of respecting the people's vote is overcoming the considerations of public trust in the the government and fighting corruption, which was what made the precedent about Arya Dery when he was a minister, and they decided that the minister cannot hold office under indictment, although the law doesn't state that, and actually the law states others. So first, I wasn't surprised by the verdict, because everyone who saw the hearing, and also because this was the opinion of the Attorney General, also it was pretty obvious that this is what will be the outcome, but it wasn't obvious that it will be unanimous. This is maybe the surprise, that 11 judges ruled the same. It doesn't mean that they have the same justifications, but the justifications were still not published. We only got like a synopsis, and only of the verdict of the Chief Justice, and the other will be published in a few weeks. But this was a bit surprising that they all agreed on this, 11 judges agreed and on the same outcome. But on the second issue of the coalition agreement, first, they already influenced the agreement, because during the hearing, they made very sharp hints that they might interfere if Likud and Kahol Lavan will not change the agreement. And at Tuesday, Kahol Lavan and Likud announced that they do change the agreement. They changed the paragraph that said that there will be no legislation not regarding the corona in 6 months. This is totally against a division of powers, that the government decides that there will be no legislation in the Knesset for 6 months. So the Supreme Court made very critical comments, and they just announced that they back out from that. And also about the nominations, because we have, and these things are connected, nominations, the high-rank nominations are for the system of enforcing the law, and you have the Prime Minister, which is indicted. So in the coalition agreement, there was like an agreement to say not to change anything in the nomination for 6 months. And also they said, why? We don't have a state prosecutor. We don't have a chief of staff for the police. We need those nominations. So they changed the agreement in order that it would only be for 100 days. And also they say this is all according to administrative law. So the Supreme Court will just see what happens. If they don't nominate, they might act on it again. As you said, there are some caveats. They also said that it is premature to rule now in issues like the fact that there will be no opposition member in the committee that appoints judges. They said, well, let's see if so. And the Knesset will elect two members of the coalition, then we might intervene. They didn't say that they will, but they might interfere there. And also, they didn't rule out, there were some other issues. Oh, regarding all the model of this two-head government with a prime minister and an alternative prime minister, they didn't say anything because the legislation was not yet complete. And the court never says anything about legislation that was not completed. Now the legislation today was completed on this noon, passed. And in the future, there will be, and I already seen the petitions against the legislation of the coalition, the new governing the rotation of prime ministers, yes, it will be criticized too. But if you ask me, I'm sure they will not abolish any of these legislation. This is amendments to basic laws. And it's very clear that first, they never strike down a basic law in Israel. Like it's if they will, it's unconstitutional amendment. And it is very, very extreme to do that. And I don't see them striking down anything of the new legislation. Even though it's very new and very strange, I don't think it they should abolish it. But they did say that if Kahol Lavan would insist on enacting another law, which they yet didn't enact, about they call it the Norwegian law. If they do it, it like changes the outcome of the election. because the whole system of how what happens when someone is resigning will change, and this is a retroactive change of the election outcome. And there is a hint in the verdict that they might interfere there. And I think that Kahol Lavan will back out from this bill that was suggested, but it was never yet promoted. So I think this is the final outcome. They didn't interfere in the verdict, but they interfered when the hearing was taking place. So they already affected how the coalition agreement is there, and they leave things to the future because they say, well, let's see what you do. We don't say the agreement is illegal. We just want to see how it's implemented.
I mean, in particular, focus of this on the rotation agreement and the kind of this new status of an alternate prime minister. How do you think that affects the prime minister's Netanyahu's status if after 18 months he becomes alternate prime minister with regard to his ongoing trial at that stage?
It's clear that the verdict about the prime minister, that he can hold his office while indicted, will be the same for the alternate prime minister, because the law says that the alternate prime minister is totally equal on these issues. So he can just continue with the trial. But this is all assuming that there will be this whole switch in another 16 months or 18 months. Yeah, we don't know that. But at least in theory, when it happens, he can hold his office as alternate prime minister. But we have to understand that it really changes the method of our governing, because, for example, the whole idea in the government, in the parliamentary system, that the ministers have accountability for the prime minister. The ministers are under him, and he can always fire them. And now it will change. For example, the prime minister cannot fire the minister who are in the block of the alternate prime minister. So it's like two separate governments in one government, and they have to agree about everything. Almost everything has a veto power for the both of them. So we just have to wait and see how it works, because we don't have any kind of similar model in any democratic state. We didn't find, myself and other people who investigated, we can try to have research. If you ask me what was the biggest problem of this legislation, it wasn't in the details, but it was in the process. We had a major change of our constitution in 2 weeks, and almost no time for people to research and to think and to comment. I participated in 3 hearings of the committee in the Knesset that were held like in 1 a.m. or 3 a.m. because they were just marathoning in this, and almost no expert of constitutional law and political science, nobody participated, because public cannot participate in such a short time when you publish the bill on Thursday and on Friday the hearing is on. So I think that it was a very too quick procedure. I know what were the consequences, what were the circumstances. I know why they did it so quick, but I think it's very strange to change the constitution like that. The legal advisors in the Knesset and from the Attorney General, they had a lot of criticism, just like myself and other people from Israel Democracy Institute, but most of the comments were unheard. They just went on with it, and we will just see what happens. It will be very new. It changes the whole idea of unity, accountability of all the government.
Absolutely, we will. It'll be very interesting to see all that. Can I ask you? I mean, do you expect now the new government to lay out a clearer government guidelines, kind of their legislative agenda? When do you expect to see that? What do you expect kind of them to be able to promote beyond kind of the dealing with the coronavirus pandemic?
Yeah, this is another issue that the Supreme Court told them that it will be almost illegal not to show the guidelines of the coalition.
Right.
The coalition agreement had no guidelines in it, nothing. They told them, look at the basic law. When the basic law of the government said that when you present the government, you should also read the guidelines, and there are no guidelines. So another thing that the Kahol Levan and Likud cleared in their letter to the Supreme Court was that they will have guidelines. So they will have some issues that they agree with the both of them. But they still say that this is an emergency government to deal with the corona. Now it's more to deal with the economic crisis of the corona, at least on the day we speak today. It looks like the economic crisis is issued now, not the health issue. But we really can't know what will happen in the future. So they will have guidelines. They said to the Supreme Court that they will be in a few days, because they say that they want to swear in the government in a week on Wednesday. So it will publish. It will be published before.
And one of the first issues that the new government will have to deal with is passing a new budget that hasn't been done in this country for over 2 years. Again, do you anticipate them being able to work together to build a consensus budget between Blue and White and Likud?
I think this will be the biggest issue that they will deal first, just as they start the government. I think they will put everything aside and just deal with the budget, because, as I said, I think the biggest crisis the country is facing is the economic crisis. If they won't succeed with that, then they won't have a government. So at least with the first budget, I would bet that they will succeed, because, you know, it's just the start and everyone are positive. And I think that it'll take some time, but we will have a budget.
And if I can just change the last couple of questions, if I can just change topic slightly, in less than 3 weeks' time, Prime Minister Netanyahu will be starting his trial on three charges of corruption. Just drawing on your expertise in criminal law, could you just give us a sense of kind of what that would look like? Were we really going to see Prime Minister Netanyahu sitting on the defendant's bench? How often will he have to appear in court? What's kind of is going to be the nature of him juggling both court appearances and running the country?
One thing you have to understand about our system is, and it's very different from other systems. I'm not sure about every system, but it's different. Our criminal system is different because we don't have a jury. And because of that, there is no hurry. There is no rush to finish the criminal case and you know, the evidence quickly. You don't have to keep a jury waiting. And so the outcome is that criminal procedures sometimes take years, literally years, like 4 years, one case, a regular case. But it's all in the hands of the judges of the trial court. They can decide that they do it quickly. And if they decide that they will do it quickly, like they will work 3 days a week. This is very, very quickly in Israel, 3 days a week for a trial of a criminal case. Then they might finish it in the most optimistic view, like in a year. This is the fastest. And I'm not sure that it will happen. And another thing, that there is a lot of discretion for the trial judges. For example, for the fact of the defendant has to show there. It's written in the law as a general law, but all the general laws in the criminal procedure are open for discretion by the court. So the court can exempt him from being there. And actually, I will not be surprised. Definitely won't be surprised that he will be exempted from being there. They say, well, he is represented by his lawyers, so he doesn't have to be here if he doesn't want to. He might be obliged to be there on the first session, which is like the judge. It's a reading. The judges read the indictment to the defendant. But again, there is discretion also there. And I guess that the prime minister will ask not to be there. And his lawyers will say, well, we read the indictment to him and he understands it completely and it will not affect his defense. The idea is that his presence there is not some kind of a punishment. His presence there is when the court thinks that it is needed for his defending. And they might just agree that in this case, he is well represented and therefore he doesn't have to be there. But still, I must say that when a criminal case is trialed, I mean, the evidence part, not the first part. The first part will be petitions, and maybe they will claim for immunity, and there will be some issues of what is relevant evidence and what is not. But when they start hearing the witnesses, when they start right. hearing witnesses and having cross-examinations, he won't be there, but they will have to consult with him a lot. If they want to protect, if they want to defend him good, to give him a good defense, they have to ask him a lot of questions, at least like the night before. And after the investigation, they have to talk to him again, because there are a lot of things that only the defendant know. And he only to give a good, to be a good defense lawyer, you have to consult with your with the defendant. And there are hundreds of witnesses there. This will be a very complicated case. It's not just a simple question of the facts or something like that. It's a very complicated case. And therefore, the bottom line is he won't be there, but he will be very bothered by that.
And again, in terms of procedure, there are the cases 1, 2, and 4,000. Do we know, will they each be dealt with in parallel, or will they set an order of priorities in terms of how they go through methodically the cases?
Again, it's the decision of the court, the trial judges, but I think that they will, in a way, as long as they will probably start with one, and then the other, not necessarily by the numbers, but they probably start with one of the cases and then the other and then the third, but they won't have a verdict before they do all three of them, because all three of them in the same indictment. So it will just be in the evidence part, they will start by one and continue with the other. But the verdict will be about the three cases in one verdict.
Amir, thank you very much indeed. That was all very enlightening and fascinating to kind of weave through the political and legal complexities here, and what's been a fascinating week to follow it here. So thank you very much indeed for sharing your analysis.
Thank you.